Good morning, everyone. My name is Hillary Olivos, Board Administrator for Oregon Department of Forestry. Today, Wednesday, May 15, 2023, we'll be commencing the Forestry Program for Oregon Subcommittee. I will be transferring this.
We lost your audio.
I'm transferring this over to Robin, our facilitator, and I can close out by reminding everybody of the day of the meeting for the record.
Thanks. Thanks, Hillary. So welcome everyone, Robin Harkless with Oregon Consensus, providing facilitation to the FPFO process, the board and the executive team and the subcommittee. So we'll do a quick round of introductions and get rolling with our quick meeting this morning. I'll just call on folks. Brenda?
Brenda McComb, board member.
Thank you. Danny?
Good morning, Danny Ryan with the Oregon Department of Forestry.
Ben?
Ben Däumling, board member.
Ryan?
Good morning, Ryan Gordon, Oregon Department of Forestry.
Mike?
Good morning, Mike Wilson, Oregon Department of Forestry.
Cal?
Cal Mukamoto, Oregon Department of Forestry.
Joe?
Joe Justice, board member.
And John?
John Karzik, Oregon Department of Forestry.
Thank you, and thanks to all who are listening in this morning. I'm just gonna do a quick share of my screen so that we can look at our agenda, just as a reminder of what we are going to focus on today. And, there we go. Sorry, let me get rid of this. So the proposed agenda is related to content on the FPFO. We'll do a quick debrief of the April 27th discussion amongst the board and ET at the retreat in Enterprise. I'd just like to make a couple notes to the suggestions for changes to the overall document. There were just a few that sort of surfaced in the meeting, so I wanted to point those out to the subcommittee just so we're all kind of aware of what those suggestions are. And then we'll really focus on furthering to develop the resilient community's goal by looking at strategy ideas. So this was the topic of conversation in April. We've tried to pull all the raw notes forward and do some synthesizing. So what I shared with members of this group, and I'll pull it up on the screen today so everybody will have a view of that, is just some categories. And we'll have some conversation, see how far we can get in working toward alignment of this group on those strategy ideas that will then help us take the next step down the road in having the agency figure out what actions might be associated with those strategies. But really what we'll want to do is kind of replicate this for the other goals going forward. And I'd just like to, you know, spoiler alert, the hope is that we can get the rest of the goals definitions established and a set of strategies, even if they're just high level categories of strategies, completed this summer. So the year is going to come quick. The end of the year is going to come quick. And we'll really need to make some progress this summer if we're going to get the FPFO done, mostly done, or the pieces of it that we're supposed to get done this year. So that's it for today. I would like to use a little time at the end just to talk about next steps and get some feedback from you all about what might be a reasonable cadence of engagement on this work over the course of June, July, and August. Got a couple of ideas to float with you, so we'll check in on that before we wrap today. All right, so let me just quickly, I just wanted to point out there are just a few suggested comments or suggested edits to the main document that came up in our conversation or your all's conversation in April. And so I'd like to just point those out. They're just a few, but in this kind of working draft that we have going, which as a reminder, it's still quite porous. We're not really doing any sort of checking for decisions on this document yet, but we want to keep it moving forward. So we're going to continue to populate it through these discussions with the intent that you've gotten pretty far along at the end of the year. And then there'll be some process for doing an actual review of the document, the full document itself. But one of the, a couple of the suggestions that came up were related to this kind of higher level opening piece around the principles. And a topic was around how we do community engagement. So I couldn't find explicitly where this was mentioned as a principle. So I added it here to this idea of building relationships with Oregonians, partners, urban and rural communities, local governments. Through collaboration, yes, and communication, transparency, and accountability, but also through community engagement, which was a suggestion made by one of the board members. And then we had a lot of conversation about place-based strategies and approaches at this last call. So I put it up here as a potential principle that might guide some of this work as well, recognizing and acting on place-based approaches where appropriate. I think those are the only two kind of higher level suggested changes to the draft. And then of course we will want to update the goal section related to resilient communities as soon as you all feel that it's far enough along that we can kind of populate that into the document. So what I shared late last night was both just a set of the raw notes that were pulled from the small group work that you all did in April. And those are in the summary notes from that full retreat, which will be posted, I think, soon. But then also tried to do a little synthesizing and categorizing. And so that was the second document, which was just kind of an outline of what might go into this goal section with maybe a verbiage for the definition of this goal based on what you've all talked about so far. So I'm going to just pause there for a moment and see if there are any other kind of outstanding reflections that you feel are important to share at this moment about the board retreat. We haven't debriefed that at all. So I just wanted to make a few minutes space, at least if there are really kind of pressing comments that you feel like are important for us to have this conversation today.
I guess I'll start. I thought there was a lot of really kind of open and good conversation that happened at that retreat, and we learned a lot of things, and a lot came out. A lot of it was talked about often when you put that number of people together to speak. I think it's going to be really important that we, and I appreciate the documents you sent trying to capture that and use that and inform this in this process. So this really is a bottom up exercise that we're listening to people who are speaking to us. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of that conversation about place-based, you know, solutions is important. And I appreciate that having, and, you know, it, that being in the principle. So those are just my comments.
I guess I'll chime in. So I thought it was a interesting discussion. I wish I could have been there in person. I apologize for that. I think my reaction as I pondered what I was going to say as I walked the dog this morning was, I think this group and the board and the agency need to make a decision about whether we're going to craft a plan that takes forest ecosystem function and processes first based upon science, both social science and STEM science, or whether we're trying to develop a plan that tries to thread the needle between the political right and the political left. Because I heard enough, both at recent board meetings as well as at this retreat, that make it clear to me that there are some people who are simply trying to position their base for the next election based upon the comments that are being made. And I don't think that's a road that we should be going down. I think we just need to be alert to that going forward. And if we aren't, and I think if we do try to thread that needle, then I'm not sure that the plan is going to be a long-lasting plan.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Brenda, that comment. As I've kind of reflected on all this, a lot of the conversations about, over our, kind of the goal of what this plan is. And to me, this is a decision a bit as to what we want this plan to be. Do we want it to be aspirational? Do we want it to be? And that was always my, what is our vision? What is, what is our aspiration for Oregon's forest? And it, it certainly needs to be informed by science, but also it is really what people want their forest to be. I think that needs to be, and it's tricky, right? It's tricky because not everybody wants the same thing. But I do think we have to try to kind of thread that needle, because I hope that we can be aspirational in this plan. And I don't know if you understand what I mean by that, Brenda, but that's what I hope it to be. And that'll be tricky because that's what people desire in their forests and what we hope it to be. I don't know what I'm trying to say exactly. Maybe difficult in some places, I guess, to achieve. But I don't know that means that we shouldn't be aspirational. I don't know. Are you tracking me?
I agree with being aspirational. I don't agree with threading a political needle. I think that's fraught with problems.
Mm-hmm. I think that's always our challenge. I think that's part of the nature of what we do.
I don't think it has to be. Not if we're developing an aspirational plan that's going to meet the needs for all forest processes and all forest organisms, including humans, that is sustainable and robust over the long term. Politics come and go. Politics come and go on a 2 to 4 year schedule. We need something that's going to last for 20 years. And if we try to thread that, I'm sorry, I should not be lecturing here.
That's what professors
I'm just do. Concerned.
Brenda, that's what professors do. but I was going to say, I agree with what I'm hearing here is that, but my conclusion is that being political is the opposite of being aspirational.
So Joe, would you mind just sharing a little bit about how you see this being aspirational? Like, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think like in the case of resilient communities, what do we want to see resilient communities? I mean, what is our vision? What do we hope for these communities? And what are the strategies that we hope to see to achieve resilient, communities in Oregon? And recognizing, I think that's where it's going to be different for different communities. It's not going to be that's where I think that principle of place-based strategies or place-based solutions are really important, I guess, in this process. Does that answer your question, I guess? I don't know if I'm answering it, Robin.
Yeah, I think if that's the perspective that you're taking it, you are answering the question. Mm-hmm. So Mike and then Ben.
Yeah, thanks. I think there's a difference in the policy level versus the local planning level. And so we do have, it's good to recognize that policy will be implemented through plans that demonstrate place-based solutions. I think that's really great. The East Moraine tour stop especially, really, really showed that pretty clearly, the effectiveness of a place-based solution. The one thing that I really, so in the conversation as we went around about that and what is a resilient community in relationship to its forest. I think it's one, we need to build in this. What creates the real resilience is that the community has the understanding, accepting, and support of the actual implementations that are happening. Okay. And not everybody's getting what they want, but they understand the need. They're taking a view of all the needs and not just a few of the needs there. So that's, that's, I think, the real key to the community resiliency. You cannot provide a single product As we went through that exercise in our groups, and I believe the task was to reflect on our experience in communities that had a relationship with the forest and what was resilient and what was not. And as I thought about it, it's like, wow, okay, I've had that actually all my life. And I've never seen it. I've never seen that resilience. And it's because of that competition for resources versus that community planning piece. East Moraine's a real good example of something that is resilient in that way. And it does feed and nourish people because they may not, no single person is getting everything they want, but they are getting something out of it. So, you know, that's good. And but I do think that needs to be, you know, clearly shown in the what we're trying to achieve in the implementation of any given thing in any given place versus the policy level, where we do need to be focusing on a science-based solution in order to be aspirational in this. I agree that, you know, the political piece is not, that just feeds something that, as Brenda said, will not be resilient.
Well, thanks, Mike. You sort of said half of what I was going to say. In reflecting on the conversation here, I agree that this the aspiration, the visionary nature of this project, I think is really important. And I think we get bogged down in these goals. Between the goals are really, they're aspirational goals. They're what we want, they're visionary goals, what we want this place to look like way long into the future. And I think where the rubber hits the road, where we're sort of getting to is how do we enact that? And I think there needs to be a sort of a certain amount of honesty of reality of what we can get from the forest and what the forest can get from us. Because I think there's a lot of good intentions that go into these goals, these strategies, these things. And we need the world, the forest, the state, the population is changing. And I think with change comes the need to sort of reevaluate what we can and can't get. And so what I'm trying to sort of parse is how do we have a vision, a big, bold, aspirational vision that is grounded in the constraints of the world we live in, and not to be limited by any particular set of ideas, but to be honest about the fact that we probably aren't going to get everything for everybody out of these forests. And so just acknowledgement of change and sort of, I think, what I'm getting at.
I think we might have lost Robin, but perhaps she's dialed in on the phone. I see a phone has joined us.
Mike. Hey, really sorry about that. My internet is totally glitching out right now, so I'm going to just keep on the phone unless I can reconnect. So I apologize.
If it's okay, Robin, can I jump in on this topic real quick?
Go for it.
Well, I just wanted to also quickly let the group know that I did have an opportunity to speak with our leadership team last week. We had about 45 minutes on the agenda to talk a little bit about the strategic planning work that we're doing. And in particular, I was interested, we never actually totally got there because the conversation went in a few different good directions, but I was really interested in their feedback about how best to engage the agency and engage staff in this process. Had some follow-up conversations that were helpful there, but germane to the topic at hand right now, some feedback from them and from kind of the staff side that I think is helpful. They are really looking for, staff is really looking for some clear sideboards around the work that we do, some direction, some focus, some leader's intent. And I think that while this is likely to be a very high level document, it is the starting point for that. And most folks have lost touch with the previous strategic plan. I think that for a lot of staff, you know, our core business is really clear. We know what our enabling statutes tell us we do. But what we can use is some direction in how we do that work, and where we really focus. And that's certainly connected to the strategic plan. And then, you know, coming back around specifically to the resilient communities goal, I know that if we were to talk with all of our district foresters, you know, they would probably say that our local partnerships are the most important asset that we have. And I would wholly agree with that. And that is certainly, those partnerships are certainly a core component of how we get things done locally. And so I know that they want that certainly to be reflected in this document. So I thought that might be helpful, at least to this part of the conversation that we're having this morning. And then as it makes sense, I can loop back around to some ideas about how we would pull staff into the process. Thank you.
Can I make, Ryan, I agree. Pulling staff, I mean, we had a lot of information, just like from Matt Howard on that in the meeting. You know, who's very, very connected to that local community over there in Wallowa County. And even on the subcommittee, we don't have any staff on the subcommittee. I mean, we had, there's nobody in attendance from staff on this, or from I guess, field staff here on the subcommittee. And I think that concerns me, that we don't have a voice, a strong voice from staff. I think somebody like Matt would be a very strong voice from staff, somebody who has been in the department for a number of years, engaged with a variety of different communities across the state. And anyway, it's something to think about. I think we're missing that on this subcommittee, is somebody that is willing to talk, willing to have a strong voice, and, you know, and to represent staff, whether that's a district forester, whether that's an area, you know, an area director or somebody. But I think it would be good to have somebody like that on, you know, in this meeting or in the subcommittee.
Just want to point out Ryan Greco is not here today, but he's fighting fire in Alberta. But he is intended to help fill that role with staff input from the field.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if he's the right fit. That's my only, honestly. So that's nothing against him, but I'm wondering if that he's the right fit. Somebody who is intimately connected with staff, or, you know, with the field, and can bring that kind of perspective a little bit more directly to the subcommittee. I guess I would like to see that on the subcommittee. I think it would help us.
Okay. I guess, Robin, if I could respond?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge that there is a desire to make sure that there is kind of staff connected, field level staff connected into this, both from the position of the leadership team that Ryan just reflected, but also from the board members who want to ensure that, you know, that sort of connective tissue exists as you're developing this work. So it is, you know, making sense and that there's buy-in into this work. So I just want to acknowledge that and put a pin in it so we can maybe kind of follow up with that, Ryan, offline.
Thank you. I agree that understanding the views and opinions of the staff is critical, but I do worry that getting one staff member to be on the committee who represents a strong tie with a local community is going to represent that local community and those views, and not more broadly the connections that staff have across the state. And so if I don't know what Ryan's history is, but if we had somebody who was in an upper level administrative position in the agency who had worked in local communities and have that perspective, I think that might be a better idea than getting somebody from a local community to come in, because I think they're going to be very tunnel visioned around that community and those values.
Okay. So Ryan, do you feel like you have enough feedback to give this some thought, and we can follow up offline?
I do. Yeah, I've got some good ideas from here and also some additional ideas from the leadership team meeting, and happy to reconnect on that, Robin.
Okay. So I, just so everybody's aware, I can't see any of you. and so if hands are raised, I apologize. I'm not tracking that. So I want to be supportive to you in this conversation and not disruptive just because I can't see you. But I'm wondering if folks are comfortable with us moving, taking a step forward and looking at the resilient communities goal at this point. Okay, I'm
sure. There's nodding heads, I think.
Yeah, nodding heads.
All right. So if there's Hillary or somebody, if there's a way for you to pull up the document I sent out last night, which is it's labeled resilience communities strategies. It's a one pager basically. And like I said, what I did here was just tried to put a little definition on this. This is just something for you to consider, but it's really based on what you've been talking about so far in this goal. And then pulled the raw notes into maybe just a set of strategy areas, if you will. And so that's what you're seeing here, and really want to just get your eyes on this and see if there are, you know, items that are missing, items that maybe could be combined or don't really belong in this goal. And I just want to also point out that what you're suggesting in this work is being aspirational, being honest, I think Ben used that word, considering where you do place-based work and kind of at what level that happens in this document and in this work. But also being mindful of the multiple needs that communities are expressing for how they interact with forests, what they need, or how the forest kind of provides for that resilience. So if you've got it in front of you, you know, this being the people-centric goal, this is different than the forest-centric goal above, which is functional and dynamic ecosystems. We haven't gotten to that one yet, but we will. So it's kind of considering that this is more of the people-centric goal, communities. So forests contribute to human health and safety and socioeconomic opportunities that support community resilience. And just a note that a combination of statewide and place-based strategies would be identified within this goal. And you can see the categories. Some, there was a lot of kind of suggestions that were tied to those categories, and some were, you know, just more generalized, like the policy, regulatory, certain DPs.
I just want to make sure, it looks like everybody can see my screen, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I can scroll down. I just wanted to give folks a chance.
I've got it on a separate screen here that I can read.
Okay.
This is Ben. I don't know. I appreciate what you've written. Don't scroll down quite yet. I wanted to talk about the blue text at the top. I in general, I really like what was written there. One little nitpicky thing is I don't want this socioeconomic opportunities separated from health and safety when it comes to resilience, because I think all three of those make a resilient community. So the way it's written right now, forests contribute to human health and safety, comma, and socioeconomic opportunities that support community resilience. And I think I just want to make sure we make it very clear that health, safety, and socioeconomic opportunities, all of those three support community resilience. And I think that's what it says, but the comma, the spacing of the ands and the commas makes it a little confusing, but
okay.
Little nitpicky thing, but that's a general, I like this.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
I guess I would personally like to see that definition just a little bit stronger. I think as I kind of just reflected on what this definition is to say, I almost think we should spell out the fact that you know, forest policies that are created can have negative and positive effects on communities. And I also believe that rural communities often are affected to a greater degree than, and I don't know, I'd like almost to see us spell that out in this definition. I guess secondly, I think it should be the board's goal to create health, you know, to improve the health of forests, which will result in more resilient communities. And so that's where I think about being bold and being aspirational is in kind of these definitions, is statements of that nature.
Okay. Would you be willing to take a crack at that, Joe, and offer some language?
I certainly could. But those are things that come to mind, kind of an acknowledgement of the decisions that we make affect, have positive and negative effects on communities across the state, or can. And those effects are not always equal. And then that leads to kind of place-based strategies for solutions. And I would like for us to say that it is our, you know, it's the board's, the board should be trying to improve the health of forests, which should create more resilient communities, something like that. And I certainly can do that. I can take a stab at that.
Yeah. So Joe, I guess I would just offer that regardless of whether policy decisions are made, there will be changes to the forest that will affect local communities through climate change and especially, but fires and whatnot. And so when you say improve forest health, what do you mean by that?
I mean, we should be advocating for it. And it's just like, you know, Neil said it so great in the meeting at one point. He said, I can't remember if it was at a tour stop or is at the evening social. You know, he basically said, we should be doing understory thinning on federal forests at a scale that we haven't seen, you know, in a long time to improve the health of these forests, both, you know, small wood and commercial wood and that kind of, to help improve the health of federal forests. So I'm not trying to say we should say something that directly in a definition.
Yeah, that's a strategy and a tactic.
That's a strategy. I'm not trying to say that that's what we would say, but in a definition. But I want this definition to be. I would like to see this definition strong enough to imply that. We want to see improvements in what, I guess improvements probably not the right word, but we want to see activities to increase the health of our forests across the state
without compromising other values.
Sure. I mean, I'm
but
not.
But that's where the conundrum lies, right? I mean,
yeah, that's
if
right.
you tell. If you tell the feds to thin the understory in all of their forests, east side and west, then there are going to be environmental consequences that are going to lead to lawsuits. So, I think we just need to be careful how we word this because, and what we mean by health, because it's going to mean different things to different people.
Sure. And I guess as a board, we have to figure out what that means to us.
Yeah.
I'm not trying. As a board in general, we have to figure out what that means to all of us, but and come up with that decision as a 7-member board. But I don't know that it's going to mean something a little bit different to all of us, I suppose. But as a board, we have to decide. My point is, and I'm willing to take a stab at some language on that. I would like to see this definition just kind of pointing out some things that are happening, because that was the. You know, one of the huge messaging, you know, at Wallowa County, I think you're going to see that across these rural communities, what has happened to them? I mean, just they have been dramatically affected by forest policy. Huge, huge changes to those communities. And much of those changes have not been for the good. And I think it's my hope that we can have an aspirational goal that we can at least try to push that in a different direction. that's, you know, and that, yeah. That's right. I see something like this in a definition.
So. Yeah. So I guess I would just request, Joe, that you think about when you word that, the fact that many of those adverse effects on rural communities are the results of past forest policies that have put economic short-term economic gain in front of long-term environmental values. And the result is not good. And as Ben said, there will be changes. There are going to be changes. And some of them are not going to be good for some of these local communities. So I think we just need to recognize that going forward.
I guess what I heard from that, and I got a text from Hillary that Mike's hand is up, so I'll get to you in a second, Mike. But I guess what I'm hearing from Joe is, you know, trying to somehow acknowledge the impacts in some ways are felt differently, and that in different communities, and so place-based strategies make sense for various reasons, but that being one of them. And then Brenda, you know, I think you're just pointing out that there's, you know, these kind of trade-offs that as you go forward, thinking about how you're actually describing, articulating the health of forests will be really important. So I would just suggest that Joe maybe just try to offer up some refinements. You can send it to me after today and we can get it back to the group. But I do want to just circle back to the kind of essence of this piece of the goal, this one goal. Remember, there are four. climate leadership is one, and functional and dynamic ecosystems is another, as well as organizational excellence. So for this one, are the primary pieces of this health, safety, and socioeconomic, whether it's opportunity or you could use a different word there, but are those kind of the cruxes of what this goal should reflect, the strategy should reflect? And we'll get the wording to where you all feel it's right. But is that kind of the essence of this goal? I want to just kind of get a confirmation from the group so that we don't go down the wrong path, honestly.
Yes. This is Ben. I think in general, we're on the right track.
Okay.
Yeah, from my perspective, I think we're on the right track too. But can I ask a question?
Yeah, and then I just want to make sure Mike gets in the queue as well.
Okay, ahead. I don't have it on the gallery, so I apologize. But is adaptability of communities considered resilience?
Pretty much has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That depends.
Okay.
So.
I just throw it out
that later.
I haven't really totally thought that one out.
Yeah, I would say it has to be, but I think you're onto something, Cal. I think there is a resistance to considering how communities will adapt in the future.
Mm-hmm.
This is Danny. I think we talked last time about the RAD framework. So resist, accept, and direct. And that could be applied in this case too.
Yep.
In relation to climate change.
Yep. So
we can discuss that more.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Mike?
Yeah, so one of the things, I think this actually plays a bit into the adaptive piece as folks are thinking. So I'm thinking this is really about, rather than saying socioeconomic opportunities, which is kind of a weird thing, I think I would just, you know, why don't we cut to the chase, and it's diverse economic opportunities, right? Because the more you're a one-trick pony, the less able to adapt you are, just right out of the gate, right? So there's that just kind of word piece that I've been thinking of for a little while. I think the other piece too, as you try and frame this up, Joe, thanks for trying to take a stab at that. And I think it's just a matter of, I think what we're trying to do here, right, is promote management strategies, and I'd say comprehensive management strategies that lead to these things. And without getting into the tactics of it, you know, per se, because it involves a combination of passive and active and so forth and all this other kind of stuff, which could be detailed out further. But I do think there is a role to try and support those management strategies from a science-based place, because, you know, as what Brenda was saying earlier as well, you know, this is, we're in one part of a pendulum swing, right? As this stuff goes back and forth over time. And there's a lot of things that we've done in the past that haven't set us up well to be able to respond now. And so I was, you know, being generic about it, but recognizing just the overall breadth of management potential there.
Great. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I've got that noted, Mike, as a suggested opening, is that it's really about promoting comprehensive management strategies that lead to, you know, forests contributing to human health, safety, and maybe a diverse economy or diverse economic opportunities. And then we'll combine that with Joe's thinking around the place-based and kind of different impacts to different communities and try to get something that is workable as a definition. So Joe, if we could maybe work on that together offline, and we can bring something back to the group. But just for the last little bit here, can we take a look at these strategies? And I just want to kind of have you flag if there are any that either don't seem like they fit here, or that there's some glaring omission that the group hadn't considered in their conversations last few weeks ago in April. So we have some ideas around educated, engaged community. That was a big topic that kind of threaded throughout all three small groups. Obviously, economic, you know, there's different words you can use. So I put a couple words in here. We don't have to stick with the verbiage, but basically around economic viability or vitality. Public health, obviously, is one. You know, there were others that were sort of more specific, public or policy and regulatory certainty, ideas around management across ownerships and what contribution ODF has in that, wildfire resiliency, and then kind of related to urban areas, urban forestry and canopies was, it seemed like a little bit of a standalone. And then there was this one around biodiversity and ecological. And I wonder, not that we should necessarily take this over, but it might be something we shift to the forest-centered goal related to functional and dynamic ecosystems down the road. But it's in here because it was, these were all ideas that were shared around resilient community. So just get some feedback. What anything you want to flag or doesn't seem to fit or otherwise?
So Go ahead, Joe. I don't think that biodiverse and ecological focus fits here. Mm-hmm. I think it maybe fits somewhere else, Robin. That's just my comment.
Yeah, I agree with that. Two statements here that caught my eye. Both under economic viability, vitality, create jobs from active forest management. We just want to create jobs, whether it's active forest management or passive, I think doesn't matter as long as people have jobs. And then stable infrastructure of forest sector economy. Again, that does not lead into community adaptation. If you want things that are stable, they're not going to adapt. So I think I would say adaptable infrastructure for a vibrant community or something along those lines.
Yeah, see, I guess I, not surprisingly, I would disagree. I think if we're listening to what we're hearing in these meetings, that's what people are telling us.
Well, then that's a resistance to change, Joe.
Well, it's, I'm not so sure. I mean, I could even go so far as to say, there isn't a really much of a forest infrastructure in Wallowa County. You know, they need to increase their, you know, stable or increasing forest sector economy in parts of the state. You know, what we're hearing about active management, that is a theme that we're hearing. is that people want to see active management.
Some people do.
What I'm saying is what we're hearing in these meetings. So if we don't acknowledge that and build that into this plan, I think that's a mistake.
I think it's one type of approach. Active pet management is a valid, certainly valid approach to managing systems to achieve goals, but passive management is as well.
So Brenda, is
so
there
define,
space?
Go ahead, Robin.
In your mind, I just want to ask Brenda, is there space for both minds?
I'm sorry, Robin, I broke up. I couldn't hear you.
Sorry. So is there space for both? So is there room to create stability and active and passive management to support, you know, in forms that create jobs?
Yes, especially in an adaptive sense. As okay. conditions change, as economic conditions change, biophysical conditions change, communities need to adapt through both active and or passive management that allow jobs to be created if possible. And given the changes that are coming our way, you know, if here's another example, climate change is one, but what if we default on our debt in another couple of weeks? What's going to happen to these communities? What's going to happen to our ability to manage these forests? These are all unknowns. We have to be adaptable. We cannot be rigid in maintaining our linkage to the past.
So can I just ask a question? Brenda, how does passive management create jobs?
Recreation.
Okay. I guess it's a maybe a definition of what passive management is. I mean, promoting, to me, that's even falls into active management where you're trying to promote recreation.
Sure. You're right. I agree with you, Joe. But as it's written here, active forest management, based upon what I heard while online at the last meeting, meant cutting trees down. And you don't have to cut trees down to, promote mountain biking and hiking and other sorts of recreational activities. So again, I think it comes back to how these terms are defined.
Okay.
And the other one, of course, is if we have carbon credits or some way of compensating people for growing carbon, then no management may be the best solution.
Yeah, but you're not creating jobs. You're not creating economic viability.
You're creating income for the landowner.
That's right. I hear what you're saying, but I think it's, in fact,
these are all pieces of the puzzle. And I guess that's my plea here is that we not focus so much on needing to cut trees down to achieve goals. We will do that. It will contribute to achieving some goals, but it is not the be-all and end-all of achieving all goals.
I'm going to jump in here because I kind of agree with both of you. And I think at the top is we want jobs that are derived from these forests. And we want healthy forest sector economy. And whether that comes from, you know, a couple really big specialized mills or it comes from more smaller mills that are more adaptable, I don't know that this is a place-based question. This is a question that sort of has to do with the particular landscape, community, and forest. And so I think what Brenda's trying to say is let's not limit ourselves in these big picture strategies to any particular tactic. But I think the idea of jobs and strong economy that is derived from the forest, I think we can all agree on. I think we, in order to have a good forest sector economy, you need to have infrastructure, whether that infrastructure
is I think we're getting stuck on what stable is. Stable is, you know, is it one mill that stays the same, or is it mills that change over time as the forests change?
Thanks, Ben. I want to jump in on that because you're hitting right to the point. I think what we probably need to do is massage that a little bit to make it clear what we're talking about. And so I think there's an element of stability, but I think it should be something like stable, scalable, and adaptable infrastructure for the forest sector economy, recognizing there's going to be changes over time. And I mean, industry adapts, right? I mean, they do that. But I think it's about, this is the board document being forward thinking about, oh, okay, so how does that, what do we think about that? Right? What do you all think about that as you do strategies going forward? And along those lines, the retaining local talent, I think, is really the key there. I mean, because the key issue for the operator is it's a sizable investment in equipment and so forth. And clearly it's I think everybody knows what a big challenge that is. And so just recognizing and trying to incorporate that into what we're doing so that we don't lose that talent, because once somebody goes out of business and divests of that, it's a real challenge for somebody to come in and plunk that money down to get that going, even for smaller equipment, right? We all recognize that.
Mike, I really like what you said about stable, scalable, adaptable. I really like that, the forest sector economy, because that's the reality.
Great.
Can I jump in real quick, Robin, with two thoughts I've binned up here for this section. One, I just wanted to come back to the second sentence in the definition that we have at the top, talking about a combination of statewide and place-based strategies, and just acknowledge that at least as long as I've worked in natural resources, there's always that tension that has existed between the statewide or the one size fits all approach and the local place-based approach. And the solution generally lies somewhere in the middle, of course, on that spectrum. I bring that up because that is definitely a daily challenge for our business here at ODF and certainly in natural resource management in general, as I said. But I also think that's a great place for us to look at the linkage between this high level strategic document and some of the other planning documents that we have in place for implementation that include strategies, some of which are statewide in nature, some of them are more locally based, and some of them attempt to offer a framework for bridging that gap. So I do think I appreciate seeing that there, and I think that's an opportunity for us to tie some of that work in. So I wanted to call that out. And then this is not a fully formed thought, but just in terms of kind of the topics, and sorry, I started scrolling around here for my own purposes, but in terms of the topics that are listed here, we had some conversation about the biodiversity component and whether that fits or not, but it got me thinking about the diversity of human communities. And we can think about that at both kind of the macro statewide level and the micro level, in terms of individual, local communities. And that, again, it's a half-baked thought, but I feel like that element is somehow missing here in this topic and something worth thinking about trying to flesh out.
I think that's a good point, Ryan, because one of the things that we heard, and I think this is very typical to these places like Wallowa County that have shifted to kind of recreation economy, they have a 5-month economy or 4-month economy, and then they have second and third order consequences that have happened as a result of that. And acknowledging that the economies built on something so specific probably aren't resilient. They're not, frankly. Mm-hmm. what happens with housing and what happens with all these other, I like that, Ryan. I like that. I think that does. I like that thought. That's okay. Where my mind was when you said that, Ryan. Is that what you're okay. thinking?
Certainly inclusive of that. I mean, that's a, it, for me, it was a really broad thought. You know, everywhere from kind of the economic side of the picture to just who the people are, where they come from, and what their values are. You know, I mean, that that whole range of diversity of human communities.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. Sorry.
Great. So, Ryan, it might be something that's held up at the outset when you talk about the need for, in some ways, taking place-based approaches. Or if you think there's like specific strategies tied to that, you can share some suggestions after today, after the call. But I did just make a couple of friendly amendments based on what you talked about within this. Before we wrap, are there any other than the biodiversity piece that we will shift over to the other goal, one of the other goals? Are there any others that just don't seem to fit here?
I just want to reflect back on something I think Ben said, and that is a diversified revenue stream. Maybe it was Mike that said this. A diversified revenue stream allows communities to be more adaptable.
I had one other thing, and it's under policy and regulatory certainty. And I don't want to, just because it doesn't have any sub bullets there. So I just kind of want to get this in. So this is where we need to, you know, have, you know, a science-based policy sort of statement. We need to not lose sight of that. But that's also the place where we need to recognize the compromise piece as we're all working together, because, you know, science informs us, but policy is always a compromise. And I think it's probably good that somehow as this gets fleshed out, we make sure that we capture that in terms of working together as people.
Okay. I'm just going to put a couple notes in here. All right. So we are at time. I've got some of your suggestions here. I'll work with Joe. If you have, upon further review, subcommittee members, if you have suggestions for how to tailor this to improve it, because honestly, this is just first pass. So you need to help improve it, which you've already done, I think, a lot of today. Please send your stuff into me, and I will do an update, and I'll make sure it gets back out to the group before our next check-in. So if we could just have you look at this, offer suggestions over the next, let's just give ourselves 10 days, just so you don't lose it. It's going to fall off the radar. And so if you could just focus on it for a little bit and send me some ideas, that'd be great. And then I just want to touch base on what happens next over the summer. So we do have our regular 1 hour calls. We make some progress. Really, really important conversations are happening in this space. I just want to kind of check in how we can continue to approach content development, given we won't be having any real focused conversations with the full board. And we want to get these goals fleshed out. So definitions and strategies are our two layers. How, you know, I'm just wondering if folks have the bandwidth to meet for more than an hour a month, whether that's me doing some shuttle work with you in pairs, or us extending these calls to 2 hours or having more than one-hour call a month. I just want to get some feedback from folks about what your bandwidth might be to if you have the capacity to add a little more time and focus to this over the next couple months. And maybe I'll just query you now, let you think about that, and I'll follow up with a communication to get some feedback, and we'll set the course forward. At a minimum, we'll hold our one-hour calls each month, but we may need to do the add-on time and focus just to get these goals fleshed out. So if there is any quick feedback on that before we wrap, I'm open to it, but I'm happy to follow up with an email on this.
Robin, I was just going to say, I think we should be flexible to increase our time on it if we're going to get so we can stay on track. But yeah, that's up to the board's ability to volunteer that extra time. So
right,
yeah,
yeah. I guess from my perspective, we need more time in these focused discussions. But that's coming from someone where every day is Saturday. Other people have full time jobs, so it's easier for me.
I'll be perfectly honest. This is Ben. I'm pretty limited in my capacity for the next couple months. But I'm in, so I'm at least here for an hour. And if we want to have 2 hour meetings at 7:30 to 9:30, I can make that happen. But yeah, I need more work to do. But I'm pretty, unfortunately, pretty limited right now.
I guess I would. My comment would be 2 hours could be tough for me, but go ahead and schedule. You could schedule 2 hours, and if I can make 2 hours, I mean, just you might start overlapping with other meetings I have to attend. So it's just I may run into some conflicts, but I would encourage. Okay. I would rather you schedule meetings longer than add meetings.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's right. a high level, some of us would have more conflict. So.
Okay. Yeah, and I just think it's probably higher value to have you just do a focused conversation for a couple hours than do these shorter ones. So I think that's a good process approach too. So why don't we just for now, we'll extend these times to 7:30 to 9:30, and I'll follow up with each of you to just kind of get a little more input on this draft. See how that goes for this one, and then maybe we've got our approach for the next few. And I appreciate people staying a little late today. I know you're all busy, and so I'm gonna let you go, and look forward to connecting with y'all soon. So thanks a lot.
Okay, bye everybody.
Thanks bye. All.
Robin, did you say y'all? That's pretty cool. All right. We'll see you all.